I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. Thank you for joining me once again for It's a Good Life. Today we continue our study in the book of Romans. The last time we got up to verse 18 of chapter 1, and we want to continue along those thoughts that Paul had here in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Of course, he was pinning this down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Before we look at that, let me invite you to look at our website where you can download a transcript of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life. You can also email me there with any prayer requests that you have. I want to pray with you about things that are important in your life. I'd like to also to hear some answered prayer. You can go to the website, lrwm.org, lrwm.org, and you can email me there, and you can download transcripts of this program and other programs of It's a Good Life, and I look forward to hearing from you today. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, let's look at that once again and look at this in connection as we go on into the next part of this chapter. Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." We looked the last time when we said the wrath of God. We need God's righteousness, according to verse 17, but we deserve God's wrath, according to verse 18. And Paul mentions ungodliness and unrighteousness in verse 18 here. God must judge and pour out His wrath against all those who do not measure up to His standard of righteousness. Now, in the first three chapters of Romans, especially chapter 3, we see how ungodly and unrighteous we really are. We see that we deserve God's wrath to the full. Paul also uses the term hold here, who hold, men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They hold down, they suppress the righteousness, the truth of God. But notice the word revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. People had the truth, but they suppressed it. The truth was revealed from heaven. And please notice that these people were not ignorant of the truth. They were not without the knowledge of the truth. They had the truth, but they suppressed it. They held it down. Now let's read verse 18, 19, and 20 here. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest or made known in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Well, we often ask the question, will God send the heathen to hell? Does God send anyone to hell? And the answer, of course, is God sends no one to hell. People choose. To me, it's harder to go to hell than to believe in God, than to believe in the salvation that He offers through His Son, Jesus Christ. But people still turn their back on Jesus Christ. In the sight of God, all those who have not accepted His Son as Lord and Savior are heathen. They are not saved. Psalm 2:1 says, "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing?" Psalm 79:6 says, "Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name." John 14:6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then we read in Acts 16:31, "And they said," this Philippian jailer wanted to know how to be saved, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Now, for the sake of our study, as we use the term heathen, it's referring to all those who have not trusted Jesus as Savior. And as we study the Word of God, we look back in Psalms once again. Psalm 98 and verse 2, it says, "The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen." Man is without excuse when it comes to knowing God. Now, I want you to note this. When the Jews use, or they when they used the term heathen, it was and is a reference to anyone who is not a Jew. But in the sight of God, anyone who does not trust Jesus as Lord and Savior, they are heathen, according to the Word of God. John 14:6 once again says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Revelation 20:15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Well, does God send the heathen to hell if they have never heard or seen the Word of God, or the Bible? Notice this. Anyone who will not trust Jesus as Savior will go to hell. Revelation 20:15, once again, "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." And frankly, the heathen are without excuse. The heathen do know about God. There is no excuse. Romans 1:20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And once again, Psalm 98:2 says, "The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen." Galatians 3:8, "And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed." Mankind, the heathen, have the knowledge of God, according to Romans 1:19, "because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." Well, how does man have knowledge of God? Verse 20 explains this. "By the things that are made, by His eternal power, and by the Godhead." It says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You say, "Well, I don't believe that the heathen are going to go to hell." Well, you'll need to take that up with God and His Word. You'll need to read the Word of God, and if you have an argument against that, you need to take it up with the Lord. Well, note the two things that we can learn about God from creation. One, His eternal power. Two, His Godhead, His deity. Now, God has two books. How has the Creator revealed Himself to us that we might know Him? Because God wants to make Himself known and reveal Himself to men, He has written two books. These two books tell us about the Creator. God wants men to read both of these books so that they will come to know Him. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 7, it talks about the Creator's work, His creation. All men read this book, book number 1. We look around and we see the creation. We see the trees. We see the birds. And those people who, once again, we look at someone who is an evolutionist, they have perverted God's creation. God created this world and everything that exists. Psalm 19, 1 through 7 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. What is the testimony of the Lord here? It's the heavens declare the glory of God. It's the creation. We have the Creator's work, the creation. And the second book is the Creator's words, the Bible. Few people really read book number two. God implants knowledge in every man, woman, boy, and girl through the creation. And then we see the Word of God. God implants the knowledge that He exists in every human that is born into the world. And therefore, man becomes accountable and without excuse. If he seeks and wants to know the truth, God promises to get the truth to him. Jeremiah 29:13-14 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." Now the Word of God is to be preached throughout the world. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have the testimony of the creation. We have God's Word in written form. But man is without excuse. If he wants to know the truth, then God will send him the truth. This is the reason we have missionaries going out and sharing the gospel with people who are even in this country. When they want to know the truth, God will send someone to them. I believe that with all of my heart. If from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Deuteronomy 4:29. Now what's the Christian's responsibility? Since God has revealed himself to all mankind, does that mean I am relieved of my responsibility to witness? The answer is no. Psalm 96:10 says, "Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously." Psalm 18:49, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." Remember that the gospel message must be heard and believed in order for someone to be saved. Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Romans 10:17, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Sometimes the Lord will lead a witnessing Christian to a seeking lost person, as in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. And we see here Philip was led by the Lord in Acts 8:29 to this seeking man, Acts 8:31, and Philip led him to Christ as his Savior, Acts 8:37. This man was from Africa. And sometimes the Lord will lead a seeking lost person to a witnessing Christian, as in the case of the centurion called Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, a seeking lost man, Acts chapter 10 and verse 2, was led to Peter, a witnessing Christian, Acts 10:5-6. The result was the same. Peter led the seeking lost man to Christ. Well, the truth is the same. All men, in order to be saved, must trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. None will have an excuse, according to John 3:18. "He that believeth on the Son is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you will become a witnessing Christian, God will use you to lead many seeking lost persons to Christ. Begin today. God loves you today. And he wants you to call upon his name. May the Lord bless you richly, is my prayer.
Jesus had the happiness that I